Isaiah stated that God's ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Because of this, sometimes it is a bit difficult for us with our human way of thinking and doing things to really understand and comprehend our relationship to God and our relationship to his Son. In order to help us to understand this relationship better, God has given us many figures of speech that are used in the Bible, wherein he explains things in terms with which we regularly deal, things that we understand, things that we know. For example, he tells us that our relationship to Christ is like the relationship of a bride to her husband. We understand that relationship, and therefore it helps us to understand our relationship to Christ. In another way, he tells us that Christ is the king and we are the citizens in the kingdom. Because we are regularly involved in community activities and associated with government, we understand that concept. Another figure that is used is the one that we're discussing tonight. One that was emphasized in the reading that was read a moment ago from John 15. And further emphasized and underscored in the song that we just sang, the relationship of the vine and the branches. I want to just make a few observations tonight from this passage that was read in John 15, and perhaps if you have your Bible, you would like to turn it there or keep it there as we look at some of these observations tonight. I believe understanding some of these ideas and concepts can help us to be better people even during this week as we live in a relationship with Christ and as we go about trying to be a good example and a good servant of his each day of the week. In the first place, notice that each Christian is a branch in the vine. This is important. This verse 6 is important from a doctrinal standpoint because there are those who use this passage sometimes, maybe I should say abuse this passage, to try to teach denominationalism, that each church that exists is a branch in the vine. But you'll notice specifically in verse 6 that he says that each man is a branch. He said, if a man abide in me as a branch or abide not in me as a branch. Therefore, each Christian, each person, each one is a branch in Jesus Christ. This is important in that we need to understand that each of us is an individual person, an individual soul, an individual before God. There is the importance of unity. There is the importance of working together and the importance of looking at the church as a whole. Sometimes I think we tend to forget that God looks at each one of us as an individual person, even to the point of having the hairs of our heads numbered and knowing us in such a personal way, especially when we have times of difficulty. It is important for us to know that God looks at us in that way. I'm sure each of us has had the experience of being lost in the crowd, or at least feeling that we're lost in the crowd. Maybe sometimes even in a big family, we think that enough attention is not paid to us as individuals, and sometimes in the work of the church. It is easy for someone to fall through the cracks because we do not pay as much attention as we should to each other as individuals. But there's one thing for sure that we can know, that each one of us is important to God. I have made the statement, and I've heard others make it, that I believe Christ would have died on the cross and shed his blood if I were the only one who needed to be saved. And I think it is important for each one of us to believe that. It is true that we need to be concerned about selfishness and feeling too highly about ourselves, but there's another side to it, that sometimes we feel too lowly about ourselves and do not realize that we're really made in the image of God and that we are important to him. Every Christian is a branch in the vine that we're talking about tonight. The second observation is that each branch must be in the vine in order for there to be the production that is necessary. If you were to go out to a grapevine that is spread out over a trellis or over something at least, and there are many, many branches as a part of that vine, and you were to cut off a branch and put it out to the side away from that vine, you would notice that it's not able to produce. There have been instances where there's been grafting into a vine, and this image is even used in the Bible in talking about those that came in as Christians at a later date. We have a dogwood tree in our front yard that someone grafted one branch of a white limb in to the rest of them being pink, so that now there is one white limb in that dogwood tree when it blooms. But you realize that even that one that was grafted in has to be as a part of that tree. It has to be in it before there can be the production. And I believe that there is a great lesson here for us. At least three times in these eight verses, this is emphasized. Maybe more than that, but at least three. In verse 2, he says, in me. In verse 4, he says, abide in me. And then in verse 5, he says, apart from me, ye can do nothing. There are good people today who are not in Christ and in his kingdom and connected to the vine, as far as we count goodness from this world's standpoint is concerned. There are many people who do a lot of good things. I suppose that there are even some who are atheists who do some good things, maybe who even do some good deeds toward their neighbors and toward others. But it's not the same thing, you see, when someone is doing something outside of the vine. And this is important for those who are not Christians to understand, that the good that you do is not worth what it could be if you were a part of the vine, because the real relationship where the good is helpful to us and is given as an account to us and gives God the glory and the praise is when each one of us is in the vine. That's why we encourage people to become Christians. We're encouraging each one to be grafted in, as it were, as a part of that vine, because it is then and only then that there can be the true production of fruit. Notice the third observation is that each branch is expected to produce. Each branch is expected to produce. Oh, I know there is a sense in which we might go out to a vine or to a tree and we look at the overall impression that is made. And though there might be some spots where there's no fruit, we might be somewhat pleased that there is a good crop in general. But as this continues, we even become concerned about the branches where there is no fruit. And we begin to ask ourselves, what can we do to bring about fruit on that branch or to get rid of the branch? What is the appropriate road or decision that needs to be made or traveled in that case? A branch in the vine, every branch, is expected to produce fruit. In fact, you'll notice especially there in verse 2 that he starts with the word every. Every branch. That means every one. That means those who are the newest Christians, those who are the Christians that have been in the vine for years and years. It means the one talent, two talent, five talent person. It means both men and women. It means both Jew and Greek. It means both bond and free, the concept that's taught in Galatians 3:28. Every branch is to produce fruit. Again, as we compare the individual and the whole, it is easy for us, I think, to get caught up with what is taking place in the work of the church and sort of think that I'm going to be all right because we are doing a great job. Well, we need that we concept in many ways. But you know, when you and I get to the day of judgment, God's not going to judge us as a package. He's not going to judge the Henderson Church as a package. He's not going to judge some specific class that might be meeting and working as a passage. He's going, or as a package. He's going to look at me. He's going to look at you. And he expects me to be in the vine. He expects me to be associated with the other branches that are in that vine, but he wants me to produce fruit. Luke 6:44 says that we are known by our fruits. Other passages point that out also. Each one is known by the fruit which is produced. And therefore, each one needs to be involved in producing fruit in the Lord's kingdom. And as we think about this, I suppose to some extent there is the question that arises, what are we talking about when we talk about fruit, producing fruit as a part of this vine, being a branch in it? Let me share with you three passages of Scripture that perhaps will give us a general idea at least. In Galatians 5, beginning at verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Whatever else might be said about this, at least you would agree that these are qualities that ought to be in the life of a Christian, and they are referred to as the fruits of the Spirit, that which can be developed in our lives as we apply the teaching of the Spirit and of God in our lives. Again, in the 5th chapter of Ephesians in verse 9, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." Goodness and righteousness especially suggest to me there as I read that, reaching out to other people, because I'm reminded of what's said about Jesus. He went about doing good. And I'm reminded of what is involved in the concept of righteousness throughout the entirety of the Bible. Reaching out to serve others and to help others. He says the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And then over in Hebrews, the 13th chapter and verse 15, he says, "By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Now there are three passages at least that talk about fruits in our lives. And it seems to me when you sum those up that he's basically saying that when a branch worships God, fruit of the lips, praise to him, and reaches out to serve others in goodness and righteousness, and tries to be the right kind of example in meekness and gentleness and long-suffering and peace and joy and all of these others that are mentioned, that this is the way we produce fruits. By our actions and by our reaching out to others and our reaching out to worship and serve God. Each one of us is expected to produce fruit in that sense. That's why I sometimes say to you that it's important, for example, for each one of us to sing. If you sat here tonight and did not sing, you were not using the fruits of your lips. There's one branch that was not producing fruit in that sense in this service tonight. And when there is an opportunity for you and me to be involved in giving of our time and our efforts and our talents and our money or whatever it is, and we do not do what we can do, we're not producing as a branch, though the church as a whole may be doing well. One thing that I have constantly tried to emphasize, and I have been doing this for many years because I am convinced that it is the truth, as we talk about the subject of giving, if you will remember, I'm constantly asking you to look at yourself more so than looking at the total of a budget or a contribution. The budget is needed. The total is important. But what is really important is when we get down and each one of us looks at himself as a branch, what am I producing? What am I doing? And the good thing about it is, when we understand this and we deal with ourselves as branches, then the whole is going to necessarily be better. Each branch is to produce fruit. It's also interesting that each branch is expected to improve in production. I suppose that this is a lesson in and of itself and may be enough sometimes just for a sermon outline, but I want you to look at four times the word fruit is used in this passage and notice the different things that are said. Number one, he talks about no fruit or not fruit. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, that would be no fruit. He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. And then in verse 5 and verse 8, he says that it bringeth forth much fruit. You've got no fruit, fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. Don't you see sort of a process of growth in looking at those four terms? And I don't think it is by accident that it appears like that. What he's saying is there are some branches in the vine, even branches that are connected to the vine that aren't producing anything. Look at the church. Do we not see that? And then he says there are others, maybe even some of these, after a little work is done, who will begin to produce fruit, some fruit at least, and yet not producing what could be produced. Then he says the third step is they produce more fruit. When there is more work and more care given to the vine and to the branches, they produce more fruit. To the point that he eventually says that if we're really connected to the vine like we ought to be and producing like we ought to, that we'll produce more fruit and much fruit. Much fruit, verse 5 and verse 8. So there are those who produce no fruit. Are some of us in that category? There are those who produce some fruit. He just says fruit. It'd be easy for us to be in that category. Oh, we're doing something. But then there are those who produce more fruit. That's growing and growing. And I would hope that in the life of each one of us, that would be characteristic of what's taking place. That we're a little better today than we were yesterday, and a little better the next day than we were before in our Christian service and in our worship to God. And then we can grow to the point that we are producing much fruit, and even described in that way as being much fruit. No fruit, fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. Each branch is expected to improve. Another observation is that if the branch does not produce fruit, it can be cut off and it can be lost. I believe this passage is one of the better passages in the entire Bible to deal with the doctrine of once saved, always saved, because it definitely says that we're dealing with branches that are in the vine. It's not somebody who thought he was in the vine, or he possibly could have been. These are branches in the vine. But he says that there is a condition where that branch does not produce. And he says in that case, it is cut off, it is taken away, verse 2, and it is cast forth, verse 6. And even uses the image of the fire, cast into the fire and burned. So definitely there is the teaching here that a branch can become such that it's not producing, and eventually can be cut off and is not even any longer in the vine. And if you'll let your mind just wander back for a moment and think about the history of this congregation or any congregation of which you've been a part for a period of time, you'll realize how this can happen. There are those who begin to produce less and produce less and produce less until the point that sometimes they just cut themselves off from any relationship to Christ and to the church, or at least that's apparently the end result. And of course, we believe the Bible teaches that the real end result is going to be in the judgment day, when God looks at those who have not produced, even though they became Christians and they were grafted into the vine and were a part and maybe produced for a while. The branch became unproductive and was cast away. We need to realize that that can happen. And because that can happen, we need to understand the next observation, and that is that there needs to be continuous purging. There needs to be continuous purging. This passage says that God does the purging, or that Christ does. And yet I think we can understand as we look at the whole that that's done through us, and many times it's decisions we have to make that help us to be purged as a branch. Most of you have had the experience of either doing it or watching somebody do it, where there is the going to the vine or to a fruit tree, and there is the cutting off of certain limbs and the trimming back in order to make it more productive. And sometimes there will be the cutting off of a dead limb. In fact, you may go to the vine with that in mind. I'm going to get rid of all the dead limbs because they're not producing anymore. And you may find as you begin to do that that there's a limb here that has some dead appearance, but there's still some life in it. And so you go about it in a way to maybe trim off that dead part and do whatever else is necessary, according to those who know what needs to be done to a literal vine. And maybe you make that branch come back out and start producing again. Or you see one that's producing a little bit, and by treating it right, you help it to produce even more. That's what we need in the work of the church. And we constantly need that. We constantly need to be looking for ways that we can cut away those things that have decayed and are dead and not producing. And yet ways that we can encourage and fertilize, if you please, where that there can be additional growth in those areas where production can take place. That's the purging. We sometimes would call it pruning that takes place with the vine and the branches. Think about now the observations that we have made. Number one, each Christian is a branch in the vine. Each one is a part of Jesus Christ. Number two, each branch is expected to produce. Number three, each branch is expected to continue to grow in its production. And each branch is expected to be pruned to where it can grow, and if not, it can be cut off and cast into the fire. And I want to close by going back and emphasizing again that process of growth, those levels of growth. There's no fruit, fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. Where are you tonight? If you're not in the vine, you're certainly not producing fruit. You need to become a Christian tonight and be a part of the vine, be a branch that is in the vine and a branch that's ready to produce. If you're already in the vine, but there has begun to be some dead parts and you're not producing as you should, there needs to be some pruning tonight and make things right so that you can go out this week and live for Christ and be a productive branch in His service. I really believe that the fruit that we're talking about here is embodied in the idea of goodness and righteousness and worship to our Heavenly Father. Serving God, serving one another as a representative of Christ, as a part of Him. And we can only do that if we are truly in the vine and we're truly producing fruit as we ought. If you're not in the vine tonight, or if you have allowed yourself to become a dead branch or a dying branch in that vine, we encourage you to come to Jesus as together we stand and sing.